In our lesson this morning, we talked about the new year. A new year brings new opportunities. Opportunities to improve our relationship with the Lord. Opportunities to improve our relationship with one another. Opportunities to be abounding in the Lord's work. There's one more point that we want to add to our lesson. A new year brings new opportunities to evangelize. You'll remember over the last several weeks, we've been looking at a series of lessons on evangelism. And I hope as we think about the new year, 2019, we're thinking more about evangelism. As we open the Scriptures this evening, we can see that what really matters to God is the salvation of lost souls. God wants all to be saved by coming to a knowledge of the truth, according to 1 Timothy 2, verse number 4. You see, God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, Ezekiel 33, verse number 11. One soul lost is one too many in the eyes of God. We learn in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, that God hasn't appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so as we look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, we see what really matters to God is the salvation of lost souls. Perhaps you've been by a loved one or a friend who is passing away, and you know that their last words are very important. Think about our Lord's last words to His apostles when He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." That was one of the last things that our Lord conveyed to His apostles before He departed from this earth. Again, God wants people to know and to realize that salvation is made available to all because He is gracious. And it's the grace of God, according to Titus 2, verse number 11, that brings salvation. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. And as you're turning with me to Romans chapter 10, I want to read verses 13 through verse 15. And again, you can see what really matters to God. And you'll see in these verses that what God wants us to do is to share the gospel, to share the good news to a lost and dying world. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 10. Beginning at verse number 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without," listen to it, "a preacher?" One who shares the Evangelion. One who shares the good news, the glad tidings, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul would go on to say in verse number 15, "And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." As we think about salvation, as we think about the gospel, the good news, what makes the gospel good news? What makes the gospel good news is that it reveals God's works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15, verse number 18. Notice that again. It reveals the works of God from the beginning of the world. God, in His mind, knew how He would save mankind before He ever created mankind. Before He ever created this world. And the Bible reveals that. It reveals God's redemptive plan. That's what makes the gospel good news. Another thing that makes the gospel good news is that it reveals good news about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. It is good news because the gospel is God's power, God's dunamis, dynamite, unto salvation, Romans 1, verse number 16. And the gospel is good news because the gospel teaches us how the Lord adds us to His church. We see in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 47, that when a person obeys the gospel, when a person is baptized into Christ in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection, that individual is added to the church. That individual is delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, according to Colossians 1, verse number 13. That happens in conversion when a person obeys the good news. Our mission in sharing the gospel is to rescue the perishing. Think about that. To rescue the perishing. We talk a lot about Jesus and we talk a lot about His death. You remember in our sermon this morning we mentioned 2 Corinthians 8 verse number 9. In John 12, verse 31, Jesus talks about His death when He says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto Me." He's talking about His crucifixion on the cross when He says, "When I be lifted up." And this, as I said, was part of God's eternal redemptive plan. You see, Jesus was born to die, but He lived to teach and preach. Think about how evangelistic Jesus was. In Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save that which is lost." In Mark 1, verse number 38, Jesus said, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also." When Jesus said, "I will build My church," He's talking about the body of Christ that's made up of people who've obeyed the gospel. And when we put all of this together concerning evangelism, we see that Jesus wants the church to be an evangelistic institution. And we see that in the book of Acts, don't we? We see the establishment of the church in Acts chapter 2, but we see how the Lord's church would carry out the Great Commission and going into all the world, even when it was difficult. In Acts chapter 8, we read about that great persecution that came up against the church, led by a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. But did that keep the people of God from heralding the good news? Did it keep the people of God from evangelism? No, it didn't. In Acts 8, verse 4, it says they went everywhere preaching the word. The they is the church, the people of God. You see that they were mission-minded. They were evangelistic, went everywhere preaching the word. In Acts 11, verse number 24, it says many people were being added to the Lord. People were being added to the Lord because people were being taught about the Lord. They were being taught about salvation. In Acts 12, verse 24, the Word of God grew and multiplied. Again, emphasizing the evangelistic zeal of the Lord's church. There's no question when you read the book of Acts and when you consider the first century church, our brethren, they understood what really mattered to God. They were mission-minded. And you see them carrying the gospel into all the world. This evangelistic zeal that we see in the book of Acts, this zeal that we see in our brethren, it didn't happen by accident. You see, our brethren were convinced that those outside of Christ were lost. Listen to what Paul said in Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have zeal of God," talking about His fellow kinsmen, fellow Jews, "For I bear them record that they have zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness," Paul says, "are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." When Paul says they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God, Paul is saying they have not obeyed the gospel. Many of the Jews had developed their own system, their own plan of righteousness. And Paul says many of them have not obeyed the gospel. And he starts off that context by saying they are lost. That's why the church was so evangelistic. They understood that people outside of Jesus Christ were lost. And they wanted them to hear the precious message of Jesus. They wanted them to hear the gospel, the transforming power of the gospel that would bring salvation. Not only was the church convinced that those outside of Christ were lost, we see that the church was concerned for the lost. I like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 22. To the weak I became weak that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, listen to it, that I might save some. I love that statement because I believe the Apostle Paul is being realistic when it comes to salvation. Listen to it again, that I might save some. Now we know Paul tried to save a lost and dying world, but he understood that salvation was narrow. In Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14, Jesus encourages us to enter the straight gate which leads to salvation, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leads unto life. And listen to what he says. Few there be that find it. Paul understood that about salvation. Not everybody was going to be saved. Only a few would be saved. Many are called, but few are chosen. That's what Jesus said. And Paul knew that. He understood that. But Paul was mission-minded. The church was mission-minded. The church was evangelistic because they were convinced that those outside of Christ were lost. They were concerned for the lost. Notice this third point. They were committed to saving the lost. Sometimes as we read Scripture, we put a lot of focus, and rightfully so, on the Apostle Paul or maybe young Timothy or maybe Philip, the evangelist. But when you read 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 15, we read about the house of Stephanas. And the house of Stephanas was addicted in the work of the Lord. I hope, as we think about 2019, this new year, I hope we become addicted in doing the work of the Lord. I hope we are convinced like they were that there are people out there that are lost. And I hope we show as much concern as they did by sharing the gospel. And I hope we demonstrate that same kind of commitment that we see in the house of Stephanas, that we see with the brethren at Thessalonica. You remember what Paul said about the congregation at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 8? They sounded out the word. Or the Apostle Paul again in Romans 1 verses 14 and 15, where Paul says, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. I hope we're ready. I hope we are prepared to give answers of the hope that lies within us, according to 1 Peter 3, verse number 24. And so tonight, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about evangelism. We've been emphasizing evangelism, as I said, for probably the last 4 weeks. But tonight, I want to encourage you to have an evangelistic attitude in 2019. That's the challenge. To be more evangelistic. To take the mission that God has given us as something that is important to us, because we know it's important to God. And as we think about evangelism, we understand that the challenge is within ourselves. It's really within ourselves to go and to preach the gospel, to share the gospel, to talk to others about the gospel. A lot of times what we may do when it comes to sharing the gospel is we'll be just like Moses. Who am I to go, God? And God, what shall I tell them? And I like this one. I've probably used this one before. Lord, I'm not eloquent. Look at Exodus 3 and Exodus 4, and you'll see the excuses that Moses makes before God. But what I appreciate about Moses is God worked with Moses. And Moses made a lot of mistakes, but you know what? So do you. And I do too. We all make mistakes, just like Moses. But you see God working with Moses, and Moses became a great man. Moses became a great leader that made mistakes, but God used him. And listen, if we will be that vessel of honor according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 20 and 21, God will use you in His service. The challenge again when it comes to evangelism is within ourselves. That's why we're emphasizing that in 2019, let's be more evangelistic. Let's have the attitude, I can do this. And with that kind of attitude, oh, it will make all of the difference in the world. With that kind of attitude, I can do this. You'll find yourself talking to people about the gospel. You'll find yourself sitting down at the table like Jesus and having table talks. You ever thought about all the different ways that Jesus would evangelize? At times it would be before a multitude as He would herald, as He would preach like I'm doing tonight. Other times it would be just having ordinary conversations with individuals. But Jesus was the master at taking an ordinary conversation and turning it into a spiritual conversation. You'll see that in John chapter 4. Jesus asked for a glass of water, didn't He? He took that ordinary conversation about a glass of water, drinking water, and turned it into a spiritual conversation on living water. A master teacher. We can do this. We can carry out the Great Commission. But if we're going to have this attitude of being evangelistic, we have to have the same desire that Christ had. And we see in Romans 8, verse number 9, that Paul encourages us to have the Spirit of Christ. In fact, he says, if any have not the Spirit of Christ, we're not followers of Christ. Paul is simply saying, listen, if you claim to be a Christian, you're proclaiming to be a follower of Christ. And if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Christ, you're going to be like Christ. You're going to have the Spirit of Christ. Well, all you have to do is look at our Lord's life here on this earth, and you can see what really mattered to Him. You can see the kind of Spirit that He had. I mentioned Mark 1, verse number 38. He had a spirit of evangelism. If we have the Spirit of Christ, we're going to be like Christ. We're going to be more evangelistic. Not only will we have the right attitude, I can do this, but we're going to have that sincere desire. Another thing, if we're going to have this attitude of evangelism, when we go out and we talk to people, when we see people at the grocery store, maybe at Walmart, here and there, maybe at a restaurant, when you see people, you have to see them as a soul that is precious in the sight of God. The psalmist would make this statement in Psalm 142, verse 4, no one cared for my soul. I think there are probably people still out in the world today that probably feel like that. That nobody cares for my soul. Well, listen, friends, if we have this evangelistic attitude that we're talking about tonight, that I can do this, and when we have the Spirit of Christ, when we have the desire to evangelize, and when we see individuals as souls created in the image of God, those individuals won't be able to say, nobody cares for my soul. They'll know that you care for their soul because you're going to take time to talk to them about their eternal salvation. If you would, open your Bibles to to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I've never used this with this point, the value of souls. And perhaps I've never made the connection to the value of a soul because I just read through it and not really thinking about what is being said. Well, here in Matthew chapter 13, you have the kingdom parables. For example, if you would, look at Matthew 13 and look at verse number 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field, which when a man hath found it, he hideth, and for joy thereof he goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the land. Now, as you think about this particular parable, again, talking about the kingdom of heaven, it's like a treasure hidden in the field. You ever find a treasure that might have been hidden in the field, something that is valuable, and the joy that it brings to you? God is helping us understand the joy that we have in our heart when we search for the truth and when we find the truth, because we know that the truth sets us free. I'm talking about the truth concerning salvation, the truth concerning the Lord's church, the church that Jesus promised to build, the church that He died for. We see how valuable the kingdom, the church is in this parable. But here's the one that I've missed. Look at verse number 45. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Two questions from verse number 45. Who's the merchant man? Second question, who are the goodly pearls? You stop and think about what Jesus is saying. And you look at the context. I believe the merchant man is speaking of the people of God, speaking of the church. The goodly pearls, lost souls. What is the church doing in verse 45? Seeking lost souls. And as I mentioned already, when you look at the book of Acts, that's exactly what you see the church doing, seeking lost souls. But look at the parable again, like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Something that is valuable, something that is precious. Again, the goodly pearls represent souls. If we're going to be evangelistic, we have to understand how precious souls are. Now listen to this. Watch this point from the book of Acts. We see the church carrying out the Great Commission. We see how valuable souls were as they went everywhere preaching the Word. But we can add another point to that. We see that the church was willing to make sacrifices to carry out the Great Commission. The church was willing to make sacrifices so the wise merchant, the church, would be able to seek goodly pearls, lost souls. And you see an example of that in Acts chapter 4, Barnabas, who had land and sold that land and brought it to the apostles' feet. Why? To do the work of the Lord. To carry out the Great Commission. We can have the same evangelistic attitude that we see in the book of Acts. With our brethren, when we have the attitude, I can do this. When we have the same desire of Jesus Christ. When we understand how precious souls are. We can have this evangelistic attitude when we learn to have spiritual, listen to me, spiritual perception. Say not ye that there are 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look upon the field, for they are white, ready for harvest. John 4, verse 35. What is Jesus saying? Get busy. Look into the world. The world is full of people who are lost that need to hear the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, if we have spiritual perception, we're going to think souls. And when we think souls, we will see that every person without Jesus, every person without Jesus is a mission field. Every person with Jesus is a missionary. And all of us in that sense are missionaries. A lot of times I think we handicap ourselves, spiritually speaking, not having the spiritual perception because we talk about sending a missionary here, a missionary there, and we forget that we've got a mission field right here in Marble Falls, Granite Shoals, Horseshoe Bay, Buchanan, and on, oh, don't forget Tao, on and on and on we can go. There are people out there that need to hear the gospel. One more point. If we're going to have this evangelistic attitude in 2019, we need to spend more time praying for the lost. I mentioned Romans 10 earlier. Brethren, my prayer and desire for Israel, that they might be saved. I hope we spend more time praying to God for the lost. I hope we spend more time in prayer praying for more laborers. Remember Matthew 9, verse number 37, Jesus said, "The laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers." We need to be praying for laborers, praying for the work of the Lord. Colossians 4, verse 3, we need to pray for opportunities. Paul encourages the congregation at Colossae to pray for him, to pray for more opportunities to share the gospel. Acts 4, verse 29, we need to pray for boldness in proclaiming the gospel, to speak as we ought to speak, to never be ashamed of the gospel. By the way, Acts chapter 4, we're reading about the apostles who prayed for boldness. Listen, if the apostles prayed for boldness, I need to pray for boldness in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope tonight's lesson will encourage you this year to be more evangelistic. Remember Proverbs 11, verse number 3. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We are soul winners for Jesus. Friends, brethren, we can do this. But we have to have the same desire as Jesus. We have to understand how precious souls are. We have to have spiritual perception, and we need to pray more for this lost world. Listen, prayer and evangelism, they go hand in hand. I hope tonight's lesson will encourage you and help you to be more evangelistic. If we can help you tonight in any way, spiritually speaking, won't you please come right now?